gorgeous day in the city of Chicago. Tomorrow is going to be Football Fest. We cannot wait. Also tonight, it's White Sox and Guardians as they continue to try and gain some ground here for first place. We'll get to all that with Connor McKnight a little bit later in the show. But speaking of Football Fest, Waddle, tomorrow Peggy and Dion will be broadcasting live right at the start of Football Fest. So if you can't make it, you can still hear their show. If you are going to make Football Fest at the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, you're going to see them in person, as you're going to see us with Field Yates and Adam Schefter. Dion Miller is on her way back from Seattle, and she joins us right now. What's up, Dion?
So let me understand this. Peggy and I are kicking off Football Fest, and then we're getting pulled 2 hours in. So we're the starters? Is that what that means?
That is correct. You are officially the starters for the Football Fest event.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Just do us a favor. Don't hold out. Okay, don't hold out. All right.
I won't.
Is there, before we get into the Bears nuts and bolts, is there a city in America that is worse to be in for just one day because it's so awesome than Seattle? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if this was St. Louis, if this was Cincinnati, if this was Indy, like one of these Midwestern cities for some sporting event, it's a cool, quick trip. But is Seattle like the worst one-day trip ever?
I counted. I think I've been here for 38 hours. My body clock is all messed up. And it's such a beautiful place, right? Like, we flew in. It was a gorgeous evening. But all of a sudden, you're like, wait, it's midnight my time. I have to go to bed. Like, it's just, it is very hard to enjoy a trip like this because it is so fast. And it is a great city. It really is. But it was raining this morning, so par for the course.
Yeah, stereotypical.
Yesterday was beautiful.
Well, just, you know what? Rest in that first-class seat that I'm sure ABC7 has purchased for you and just sit back and get some rest.
Right, sure. Whatever. Something like that.
All right, let's start with optimism, Dion. You've covered this team for a lot of years. I tweeted out the poll question asking fans, are they more optimistic after watching the first two games? Because obviously the bar was low. Are you more optimistic about this team after seeing them these first two preseason games?
I really want to be. I really want to be. I've noticed that I've been very salty about this team for a while, but I think there were a lot of positives that we saw just with that first team offense. The connection between Fields and Cole Kmet is something that is going to be like, that's going to hinge on the success of this offense, right? Like those two being successful and moving the ball down the field and really capitalizing on that connection they made in the offseason is going to be huge for the Bears. So to see that last night, I thought that was good. It's such a tiny sample size. It's hard to get excited or feel like you're seeing a ton of progress. But they played a clean game. They got in and out of stuff, you know, quickly. They seemed to have good communication. They scored some points for the first team offense. I think that is positive. I think they're finding little things to cling to when it comes to the first team offense. And the other positive for me is Velus Jones Jr. I think he's going to be an explosive player for this team starting right away with special teams. You saw it yesterday. I mean, he just kind of, he lights up as soon as he gets the ball. It's fun to watch. And so there are some good things there, I think, that they can build on and feel good about moving forward. But it just felt, it was such a short week that it was hard to get a real grasp for anything different last night.
Well, and the short week is one of the reasons why I it's very basic and very almost primitive in terms of how you're looking at this team, but procedurally, it's clean. There aren't many penalties. They take care of the football, and they were the team on a short week that traveled across the country. So, I mean, like, listen, again, the bar is set at a very low level, but I think there are some things to be encouraged by. The one thing I'm discouraged by is the notion that none of their starters are going to play in the third preseason game. Is that a definite from your perspective, Dion?
I think it is. I mean, we asked Eberflus last night about that, and he said, oh, well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at it. But the way that they've operated so far in really trying to protect those starters, especially Fields, and make sure nothing happens, I think that's it for them. And I'm surprised because if any unit needs more reps in preseason or not, it would be them. And they only have, what, like 13 more practices before game one, and not all of those are in pads. So I'm just leery about, have they really seen enough from this team? Now, I will say this, the success the defense had yesterday, Eberflus said the way you can tell if that's real and that's going to stick is in practice, not in these preseason games. So maybe he's seeing something in those moments that we are not, or he's feeling encouraged in those moments in a different way that gives him confidence that he can move into the regular season without giving those guys more reps. But I'm surprised, too. That really caught me off guard that it seemed like that was what he was indicating.
I mean, like, let's think about this, guys, and we're talking to Deion Miller. She's on her way back from Seattle. What if Fields played, what, like three series in the first game?
Yeah.
And then the starters with Fields yesterday, some of the offensive linemen stayed, but they played one series, the field goal.
I believe it was a 10-play series.
Which was good.
50 yards.
Right, but I mean, it's four preseason series enough for a new regime with a still developing quarterback who
needs more
reps.
Not for my liking.
No, not for mine either. And I feel like we haven't seen enough. And I've noticed a change in Fields. I don't know if you guys heard his post-game interview last night. And even when he spoke to the media this week, he just isn't as engaged as it felt like he was before. And maybe that's because they're putting in a lot of work and he's tired or whatever. But he just seems like short and curt with the media, which is weird. I didn't expect that from him either heading into this season. So I don't know. I don't know what, if all the change has made him different or what the case is. But it does seem like there's been a change when it comes to QB1.
Did Coach Eberflus talk about the miscommunication with regard to the challenge? Again, I mean, we're focusing on individual things now, but this is procedurally something right. that a rookie head coach is going to be questioned about quite a bit.
No doubt. He did talk about that. He said that they only got one angle of it and they didn't have time to challenge it. So they agreed in that moment to let it go. I think that was more of a preseason thing. He's going to look at the tape, guys, and realize that that was the wrong choice that he made. Like, he's going to know that really quickly. But he just said that they only had one look at it from up above, and two guys on the field thought that it had hit the ground before he caught it. And so they just decided not to go forward with that. But it is something that he'll have to learn from, because it was a mistake in the moment.
I had four views of it from my couch.
Right.
Like, if I can see it from my couch, the coach has got to find a way to have somebody be able to see it and relay it to him.
Oh, totally. It was clearly a clean catch, and yeah. I don't know why. And for him to have thrown that challenge flag in the first preseason game and then decided not to do it in the second, it was kind of weird. But again, learning on the job, right? Like, he's learning, too. This is all reps for him.
So we saw Borum. We saw Jenkins yesterday. Riley Reiff is obviously going to play right tackle. Are we looking at starter at right guard, Tevin Jenkins?
Gosh, what a turn of events, right? I think they want to see more from him in that moment. That's why he was out there a little bit longer. Here's what I'll say. Yesterday, it didn't seem like when there were mistakes on the offensive line, they weren't yelling out 76, right? It didn't seem like he was the reason the offensive line was falling apart. So that could be encouraging. Justin said that he feels comfortable with him in that position. But the offensive line is something that's going to be leaky, and we're going to be monitoring until probably through the whole season, but definitely through the first month as they all come together. I mean, you've got another rookie on the other side in Braxton Jones, and you're trying to see how these guys all fit together. I think if Tevin can learn this position quickly, which he's on, what, day three now of playing this role? So if he can pick it up quickly, I think that will instill a lot of confidence in him from this regime that it feels like 10 days ago was wondering if they should trade him. So maybe he does find his way onto the starting five. I think that by sheer numbers, like, he's just going to be the one that's going to end up in that role to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see the offensive lineman out there for another game.
You know,
like play to what's the update? I know you probably didn't get one yesterday, but has there been discussion about when Lucas Patrick will be back? Is it for the opener?
I don't know. He was there yesterday walking around. He still had a brace on his hand. He wasn't, you know, doing anything, of course, but he was at least along with the team. There's been no update on what his status may be heading towards the season, but we'll probably find out in the coming week, because they're treating this next week like it's a game week before they go to Cleveland. So we'll get a lot more of those questions answered, I think, as we head towards this final preseason game.
Deion, what is your take on what's next in the Roquan Smith saga?
Well, I would feel like it's imminent. I mean, you guys know, I think both sides have mismanaged this entire situation, and it has just gotten to the point where I'm exhausted by it. Like, just figure something out at this point, guys. Like, it's he's there, and they're saying he's engaged with the team. And we saw him yesterday chit-chatting it up with Sean Desai on the sidelines. And he seems like he's engaged, but then he walks off the field alone, and it's just bizarre.
I will interject this too, Dion, and you obviously you were there. You probably didn't see it from the television copy. Tony Medlin, longtime equipment guy, and Tony does everything. Looked like he was having a really long, heartfelt conversation with Roquan on the sideline, and Roquan was nodding his head. My hope was, obviously,
Tony
I'm
getting
joking,
the deal done.
Is that Tony is facilitating this deal and telling him, come on, let's do this.
You guys, can we all agree that if Tony Medlin was giving him advice, we would be so on board for that?
No doubt.
That's been the biggest question. We don't know who's giving him advice and who he's listening to and who he's following along the way for him. And he's got to be tired of it too, right? I mean, I want to know what their strong offer was. I want to know more details about what they've already offered him that he felt wasn't good enough for him. I don't know, but the last thing he wants to do is for them to see that they can or want to move forward without him, and I don't think that they do, but he doesn't want to see that. And they've got time. They've got time. They've got enough practices for a guy like that to get up to speed. I would just hope that it happens in the next week.
You know what I would say as well? I think that what we've seen from Ryan Poles, the one thing that I feel pretty certain about is that there's a principle that they work on and they stick to. Whether it was, listen, we understand that there's not a lot inside the offensive huddle for Justin Fields, but the two top guys on our board in the second round were Gordon and Brisker, and we're going defense.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling, too, that they've said, we like Roquan Smith. We think he's a really good player, and it's our goal to sign him, but we don't believe he's the best off-ball linebacker in the league. We're not going to pay him like an outside rush backer, and this is our principle. So I'm with you, Dion. I think that the most likely outcome is they find common ground, but I wouldn't rule it out that this thing stays in a disgruntled fashion.
I wouldn't either. And if there's one thing we've learned about Ryan Poles is he has zero emotion attached to the roster that he was presented, right? And that includes Roquan Smith. So he is sticking to his principle. I totally agree with you, Waddle. That's who he is, and he's going to stay true to that no matter what it looks like and how long it takes on the field. I will say this. Because of this new regime and because of all the new players on the field, this is the first time in, four or five coaching changes that I've seen guys really buy in so quickly. And I know that's because there's so many new faces, but they're really flying around on the field. They're really adopting the HITS principle. Nobody seems to look at it like, oh, my gosh, more coach speak. They seem to be really into it. Even an Eddie Jackson seems to be really into it. And I think that is going to pay dividends along the way. Like, I feel like Eberflus and Poles are setting a standard that most of the guys are adhering to. Let's see if that includes Roquan.
I love that. Like, even Eddie Jackson, like, that's how far he's fallen. Even he's buying in.
If Eberflus can get him to tackle, Eberflus may be the second coming of Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, no doubt.
Dion, before we let you go and you get on that flight in Seattle, you mentioned Velus Jones. We know he obviously is hyped as a third-round pick. Is there anybody else young, other than like Jack Sanborn, who again put up another good game, that we should take seriously that you like and has a shot of making this roster?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I want to say that somebody jumped out yesterday outside of Velus, and I don't know that they did. I mean, Trustin Ebner, provided he's not totally injured, he was very good yesterday too. I mean, I know he had a little bit of an ankle at the end and didn't finish the game. He showed that he could carry the ball and be successful.
Dion, how about the kid from Miami of Ohio who was a quarterback who's now
Robinson.
A defensive end? Yes.
Oh, Dominique Robinson. Yeah, like he's awesome. He has really, he's jumped off the field too. That's true. And he's done, he's proven that he can make that transition, right? And I think it's because he's so smart, because he's played both sides and he understands what his role needs to be in what he's playing, and he's been fun to watch too.
Yeah,
Dion, have a safe trip. Is this your first football fest?
My first football fest. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited.
You better get ready. Yeah. You better gear up. It's unlike anything you've ever seen.
Yeah. You better have your stuff going.
Oh gosh, I'm nervous now.
No, don't be.
You know, Peggy.
It'll be a blast.
Peggy's your heavy. You don't have to worry about that. She's going to put people in place.
That's true. She will. Always. Always.
Dion, we'll see you tomorrow. Have
thanks,
a safe
Dion.
Flight.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Dion Miller, ABC7, boarding a flight
great
in
work.
Seattle.
She does great work.
Football Fest, by the way, you can still register. If you've been thinking and then you're like, oh, I got nothing to do, you can still go to ESPNFootballFest.com and you can still get in for tomorrow. Now, if you do walk in and you have not registered, they won't let you walk in. So make sure it's free and you don't have to pay anything, but they want you to register. ESPNFootballFest.com. And remember, get there early because our swag bags are on a first come, first serve basis. So
gotta get a swag bag.
Yes, while supplies last. Yes. So get it. Make sure you're there early. You get in line. You get in, and everything's going to be good. I'm
going to. Any idea what's in the swag bag?
I do not know. No. Do you?
No, I don't know. Swag.
How about any Tom Waddle football cards?
I doubt it. Yeah.
Do you carry those on you?
I don't. No, I don't.
Someone said that we should bring the traveling Waddle jersey back.
I think that's been burned, hasn't it?
No, we have new ones. I mean, we could start a new traveling Waddle jersey.
Didn't Braggs take it to a gentleman's club?
Braxton, did you say?
No, I said Braggs.
Oh, Braggs. Like, not yet. Maybe in a few years, but not yet.
I figured Mason got a chance to spend time in the Astros dugout. Maybe you took Braxton to Polecats. I don't know.
Two nights ago, Mason got to meet Lance McCullers Jr.
And then he signed a contract with them too.
Basically, yeah. And then he sat in section 108, and he was telling me some of the words that he heard uttered in section 108. I was tweeting with those guys too. They were looking out for my wife and them and Mason as well. It was just those two. Went my wife and Mason. Braxy and I went for ice cream after the show.
And went to Polecats.
We did not go to Polecats. Can I play you some Roquan Smith stuff from last night's broadcast? First, again, let me give you Steve Levy. They talked to Ryan Poles before the game, and I thought this was an interesting way to put it.
Some of the language Poles used was interesting. First of all, we don't often get to talk to the general manager, so he was very gracious with his time. Let's point. But he said, hey, he's a very good linebacker. Like, that's some code there. That's not excellent. That's not the best linebacker in the league. That's not being paid like the best linebacker in the league.
So maybe he really, really likes him, but he doesn't like him as the top inside linebacker.
I think Poles plays it close to his vest, and why would you want to say that? He's the best off-ball linebacker in football. We'll get something done. All you do is give Roquan a negotiation chip there.
Okay. Lewis Riddick on whether or not Ryan Poles values the off-the-ball linebacker.
There's so many layers of this. Let me expand on the fact of how maybe he views the linebacker position. Remember, he also said this. If it was a pass rusher, if this was a quarterback, if this was a corner, it'd be a little bit easier. Yeah. I mean, so what that tells you is, you're right. When you're looking at the positions 1 through 22 on a football team, maybe that stack linebacker position for him is down a little bit lower than what maybe Roquan Smith was hoping that it would be.
So again, they gave you a little bit behind-the-scenes stuff where they're talking to Ryan Poles, and I guess the way I interpreted that is Ryan Poles told them that if this was a corner, if this was a pass rusher,
it'd be different.
It would be easier to figure out. But it's that inside linebacker puzzle where he's important, but how important when we have so many other voids in this team?
Now, the interesting kind of response to that is his head coach actually coached the guy who's making $20 million a year at that position.
Riddick also described that. Take a listen.
I look at it like this. Remember, we talked to Jordan Brooks about this for Seattle when we talked to him. Inside linebackers, signal callers, playmakers, three down guys who stand in front of the defense and talk to them the way a guy like Roquan Smith, that's like the quarterback of your defense. That's like the heart and soul of your defense. I think those players have systematically risen in terms of the hierarchy of importance on a roster because of the fact that the way the game has changed. And Roquan can do everything. He's a three-down player who can do everything. I would value them much higher than maybe they have in the past.
Okay.
But clearly, it seems like there may be some disagreement with that.
I respectfully disagree with Lewis on that front. I think that the value for the outside linebackers in a rush defense have their value have gone. I side more with Poles than I do Lewis on that front. And by the way, like, look, they're not going to ask Roquan to play in the middle. The money spot for that linebacker and that defense is the Will linebacker spot. It's the Derek Brooks from Tampa Bay. Lance Briggs played there in Lovie Smith's defense. Brian was like, Brian's in the middle. Brian's a Hall of Famer. Brian's kind of like a unicorn. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you just can't. He's like one of these once in a generation type players who can do things that no other middle linebacker that I've seen. Listen, Butkus was the best in the old school defense to ever play the game. I don't know that I've ever seen a linebacker play in the middle that could do what Urlacher could do. He could drop and get as deep as a tight end on coverage. He could go sideline to sideline. His football instincts were one of a kind. Like, he is a true, legitimate, first ballot Pro Football Hall of Famer. And those guys don't come around very often, but they're not asking Roquan to play that spot in this defense. They're asking him to play the will, which is where I believe Eberflus would tell you is one of the keys to their defense, other than the three technique.
Like, I know you don't totally agree with Riddick, but he is right about being an every down player who is sort of the captain of that defense.
That, yes, but when it comes to valuing the position, I'm not one that values that position as much as I do others. I believe more in what Pace is saying, or Poles is saying.
Don't agree with Pace.
Listen, I know. It's just going to be.
Don't you dare.
Defensive ends or outside linebackers in a 3-4. Cornerbacks that can lock you down. Left tackles, wide receivers, quarterbacks. Listen, it's just the nature of the sport right now. I lean in that direction as those positions are more valuable than. I would even suggest to you, if you can find a tight end that plays the game like Travis Kelce or George Kittle,
yeah, I mean,
that position is more important than the middle linebacker slash off-ball will linebacker.
They're also like what you said with Urlacher. Those guys are like one in a generation, or at least top of the tier for many years, guys.
Those guys fit the new age tight end position. Those guys, like... Again, I don't know too many guys, regardless of your defense, that play like Urlacher.
Right.
Like, that position still isn't one where you find guys like Brian.
332-3776 if you want to weigh in. We have a fun Waddle's World. Waddle has said to us that he has an overflowing folder of crazy stories, and I think we're going to handle all of those.
It's a Friday, man.
Yeah. We're going to handle all those coming up next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
Oh, let's get weird. It's a Friday. We do want to talk about we haven't had a chance yet to discuss the Deshaun Watson story. We'll get to that later. But I don't want to spend any time on that. I didn't want to get serious on that.
4 o'clock, and then we'll get into some White Sox conversation.
Right. So I just figured, it's a Friday. It's a fun Friday. Waddle's World's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. Boy, do I have a potpourri of stuff.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, do you want crime? Do you want innocuous?
I want you to catch
genitalia?
Our attention.
Genitalia? Do you want...
do I want genitalia?
Do you want...
get our attention right out of the gate.
Man accidentally cuts off his genitals while dreaming about falling asleep.
He was dreaming about falling
Excuse
asleep?
Excuse me, after falling asleep.
So he was falling asleep.
A man in Ghana is presently receiving treatment in a hospital after reportedly accidentally cutting his genitals while sleeping. The 47-year-old farmer said he chopped part of his testicles off after dozing off on a chair, during which he dreamt that he was cutting meat.
Oh, geez.
I mean, technically he was.
I was sitting in my chair when I dozed off.
Charlie.
In my sleep. Thank you, Charlie. I dreamt that I was cutting some meat in front of me. I don't remember how I picked up the knife, he told the local news agency.
It's terrible. My goodness. Were they able to
save? I think what we've learned here is just don't fall asleep where there's any type of very sharp knife or item around you.
Yeah, there should not be.
Why are you deciding while you're asleep, I'm going to hack my junk off?
Do you ever act out your dreams? Are you? Do you ever catch yourself where?
I don't think so.
Whether you sleepwalk, you sleep talk.
I don't sleepwalk. I don't know that I've slept walk in any time. Like there, I mean, there were moments back a long time ago, like drunk. Like I think I peed in my parents' closet.
That was last week when you visited Cincinnati.
They're in Tennessee now, so if I peed in my parents' old house in Cincinnati, it wasn't my parents'. Was not my parents' house that I peed in.
Where'd you pee in their what?
Their closet.
Did you think it was the bathroom?
I didn't know what I thought.
Did you get up in the middle of the night and you thought you were in the bathroom?
You've never done that?
No.
I stopped my brother-in-law from peeing on the desk. We were in Boston back for a
reunion?
Reunion. And we were in a hotel downtown and 5 in the morning, I hear all this rustling, and my brother-in-law is standing up, rustling out of bed, and he's peeing all over the desk in the hotel room.
I had a neighbor in college my freshman year pee in my room.
Neighbor?
Oh, listen. So we never locked our door at night.
Well, that's smart.
Well, I mean, you get into a rhythm where it's like, all right, you test fate, and this time it came to bite us. So it had to have been like 3 in the morning. And this girl comes stumbling into our room, takes a squat, and full stream ahead. And then she said, I thought this was my room.
As if where that makes okay it better. Where it's okay to pee on your own floor.
Right.
My bad, I thought this was
the bathroom. Yeah. No, I thought this was my room.
Yeah, it's good.
Bride's wedding invitation becomes disastrous as it directs the guests to Pornhub.
How does that happen?
An absent-minded fiancé accidentally directed guests of her upcoming nuptials to Pornhub.com.
Is that where she, like...
Rather than to her official wedding website.
Well, but how...
I got my wedding invitations in the mail today. I made a very large mistake. Confessed the blushing bride, only digitally known as at Squidward Tentacles.
Is she an actress herself?
Don't know.
Is she, like, sending out...
Don't believe so.
Some of her work?
Forgot to put this fun website as a placeholder, she added, showcasing her gold-trimmed RSVP card and zooming in on the Pornhub address where her wedding information should have been printed.
That's incredible.
For more wedding details, please visit our website at www.pornhub.com.
A placeholder? What do you mean a placeholder? Like we had to fill it in, so we figured before we had our link, we're going to put Pornhub there.
Remember the story we talked about? I don't know when we were talking about this, whether it was on the air or off, but about how Lake Mead, the water level has dropped.
And the dead bodies are being found.
For the second time, a Las Vegas man, Jesus Catalan, has discovered human skeletal remains in the shallow waters of Lake Mead. According to him, he was in the water Monday, August 15th, when he found what he believes to be a leg bone and a neck bone at the swim beach area.
Oof. Time to not swim in Lake Mead
this
anymore.
This came just... I swam in Lake Mead.
Were you?
Cold as F.
Really?
Yes. We went... one year, we went on our spring break to Vegas. Went to a game at Thomas Mack Arena as well. Sounds like something you'd do on spring break, right? Go to a basketball game? This came just a day before the National Park Service confirmed the discovery of skeletal remains in the same area. I told you that as the water levels have gone down, there have been several stories in Lake Mead about finding these oil drops.
How far is Lake Mead away from Vegas?
That I'm not 100% sure, but we went out on a boat. We were supposed to go, like, water skiing. It was cold as hell.
37-minute drive from Lake Mead to Las Vegas.
So the water levels are down, and you're starting to find people.
That's very unlike you. Like, with all the gambling and the shows and the clubs.
I was 19 or 20 years old.
Exactly. You're a degenerate as it is at 19 or 20. And you're going for a game and like a lake swim when there's all the gambling, the beautiful pools in Vegas.
Well, listen, all the gambling. Who had gambling money at 19?
You play $5 tables.
No, we didn't have gambling money. No gambling money for us.
I find that hard to believe.
I'll
pour us again, don't you?
No, I didn't know. I just said, who had gambling money in college? We had enough money to get to Vegas. We didn't have enough money to gamble when we got to Vegas.
Couldn't call up a booster or something?
We didn't have those, buddy. That's what happens when you're 3-8.
Yes.
When you're 3-8 every year, there are no boosters.
No NIL deals?
What's that?
No NIL deals.
No, we had absolutely... Don't you think now at the age of 55, I would tell you if there was any shenanigans going on? It's an entirely different group of people. They're in a different conference. There was nothing.
I'm not saying that there was illegal stuff. You had boosters. You had high.
Nobody. There was nobody there to give me anything. Nothing. Nada.
Should have went to North Carolina.
Probably so. Reusable toilet cloth is a trend making people cringe.
No. Yeah. I'm shaking my head. No.
Who trying to save the earth, man. A net zero company invention for sustainability is drawing the ire of people on Twitter. It's a reusable cloth towel to be used instead of toilet paper after using the facilities. It involves toilet cloths from which a piece can be pulled out, folded in thirds, and preferably be used after wetting it with water. After the use, the piece of toilet cloth is to be folded inwards, stored in a wet blanket or a bag, then thrown into the washing machine. After that, it is to be refolded and thus reused. Listen, when you were a baby, my guess is your mom did not have disposable diapers.
We had cotton diapers.
Right.
There was a diaper delivery service.
That's all this is. So it's freaking you out.
That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing.
Reusable.
Your wipes?
Pretty much. What's the difference?
Get a bidet or at least hop in the shower.
Get a bidet? Like your ass. This is like trying to save people money.
I would rather do. I think Meller has said he's done this. Who? Someone on the show said that.
Get a bidet.
Get a bidet. I would at least.
Don't make me outpour you again. This is why I try to outpour you, and I don't even have to try hard. You're telling people to get a bidet. Nobody's got a bidet.
But I know that. Then hop in the shower and wipe. And do it that way instead of a reusable piece of toilet cloth.
What if you're at work and you're in the bathroom? There's no shower upstairs.
Toilet paper.
They're trying to save the world by not using toilet paper.
Not going to work.
Do you want to
just going to create diseases? That's what this is going to do.
Probably so. How about a feel good animal story?
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this. A dog who was missing for 2 months was found alive inside a Missouri cave.
Wow.
Yes. Jeff Bonnard had all but given up on seeing his poodle hound mix again after she went missing in early June. 2 months later, he got a text from a neighbor. People exploring a nearby cave found a dog. Could it be Abby, his dog? He doubted it, but still curious, he went to the cave site near his rural Missouri home. That's when he saw the picture one of the rescuers took. I said, "That's my dog."
So the dog kept itself alive.
Making Abby's tale even more amazing is the fact that she's just weeks shy of turning 14.
Whoa!
Yet somehow she managed to survive nearly 60 days out on her own, apparently much of all of it, in a barren, pitch-dark, 58-degree cave.
They have caves in Missouri, don't they? Because when we were...
When
we were a kid, we went for a little bit of a trip. We went inside the arch. My parents took us to the arch. I think we went to Six Flags St. Louis, and then we visited Jesse James's cave, his hideaway, and it was in a cave. That was a tourist
attraction. Wasn't that part of that show on HBO, the Jesse James cave? Wasn't it part? Remember the Supernatural show that was on?
Never saw that.
You
Jesse
didn't
James.
See that?
I think it was Cavern. Caverns. Jesse James Caverns in Missouri is where we went to go.
Don't you remember the show that was on HBO a couple years ago? It was about the supernatural. And the guy, they found him in the cave and he was able to turn from a person to an animal. You watched it.
I don't think I did.
Really?
A person to an animal. It doesn't sound
Man had a 4-inch nail lodged in his bladder for an entire year.
Like a hammer and a nail, like a what?
Yeah. It was like finding a needle in a pea sack.
That's so terrible. Good.
Surgeons in India were flabbergasted after learning that a man's bladder pain was caused by a 4-inch nail that had been lodged there for an entire year. The wince-worthy saga began after the patient began experiencing excruciating pain in his pee pouch.
Pee pouch? That's disgusting. It's one of the grossest terms I've ever heard.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Wait, well, first of all, how did the nail get there, did you say?
I'm perusing the article as it goes down.
How does a nail get there?
That's always the intriguing thing. Like somebody,
they never give you the backstory on how some of this stuff happens.
Most of these people probably have no idea how it got there. They just woke up after they blacked out one night, and all of a sudden you got a nail in your bladder. You got a cup in your stomach.
A nail in your pee pouch.
In your pee pouch, your pee sack.
Here at the bottom of the article, it says, this is not uncommon. Meanwhile, doctors diagnosed a Tunisian woman with a urinary tract infection back in March, only to discover that she had a shot glass lodged in her bladder. She had reportedly used the drinking vessel as a sex toy for four years.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't have a problem. 4 years ago, it didn't have the problem checked out until much
glass?
Later.
A little shot glass? What's she doing with that shot glass?
What do you think she's doing with it? That's just the start. I got more. You want more?
Yeah.
Take a little time out. Yeah. Come back with a little more. You got more? I got more.
More pee pouch shenanigans.
Yeah, I got some stuff that's not so revolting, but it'll all be entertaining. I promise. I got another animal story for you as well.
Okay.
That's next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Let's take 2-4 again. We'll middle it out for the remainder of the season. Then we'll come back with the same lineup and the same skipper. We are the White Sox. That's what I got.
That was pretty good. That was kind of like how the JD theme got started. We should play that next week for all Free Ticket Fridays.
We'll piss you off today.
That's a good capper right there. Not capper 7 to 10. Not that capper. Good ending point. All right, caller 7, 312-332-3776. You win tickets. Free Ticket Friday brought to you by our great friends and partners at Miller Lite.
Hey, if you could bring back any animal that has been extinct, what animal would that be?
Some sort of one of the dinosaurs.
Really?
That's not like the most harmful.
Like the pet dinosaur? Like the little
not
ones?
Not the pet. Yeah, yeah. What did the Flintstones have? What was that?
That was a
Brontosaurus or what? What was there? What was Dino? Wasn't Dino the pet?
Dino was a dog, but I don't think Dino was a dinosaur. Dino was a dog, no? Wasn't Dino a dog? Or was Dino a pet dinosaur?
I don't know. It was a dinosaur.
Yeah. Dino was a dinosaur?
Doesn't say what.
Dino.
What breed?
Pet. Dinosaur.
Snorkosaurus?
I'd like to bring back the Snorkosaurus.
Okay. Well, anyway, scientists are planning the resurrection of an animal that's been extinct since 1936.
I saw the picture of this. This looks like a freaky animal.
Almost 100 years after its extinction, the Tasmanian tiger may live once again. Scientists want to resurrect the striped carnivorous marsupial, officially known as thylacine, which used to roam the Australian bush.
How do you bring
it back?
That's
what they call it down there?
You bring
the Australian bush.
How do you bring it back?
The ambitious project will harness advances in genetics, ancient DNA retrieval, and artificial reproduction to bring the animal back.
Isn't this what happens, though, in the dinosaur movie?
I think so,
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Isn't this what happens? This is them, science.
Well, yeah, they did this to try to make it, yes, an amusement park. And
then
it's not so amusing.
The next thing you know, the Tasmanian tiger is wiping out human.
This technology offers a chance to correct what is this? We would strongly advocate that first and foremost we need to protect our bioadversity from further extinctions. But unfortunately, we are not seeing a slowing process in the species. So what they're saying is we're starting to see different species become extinct for various reasons. This technology that they're using offers them a chance to make sure that some of that stops.
You remember a couple years ago when I went to Florida and I saw a bald eagle and... Like, remember, they were on the verge of being extinct, and then we protected them, and now I think they're flourishing, actually.
Yeah.
It was the most majestic thing I've ever seen before. Like, seeing a bald eagle up close, and it was actually eating, like, a squirrel.
Yeah, it was gross.
In the tree.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
And then it flew the way...
As majestic as it was, like, it was gross.
The bald eagle. Ugh. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, I think that some sharks are starting to become... there's less... Less and less of them as well. So, yeah, the Tasmanian tiger may be coming back. A man under 40 shouldn't have more than a shot glass of beer per day, a new study suggests.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying about that study? Shot glass of beer once a day. Kiss my...
You know what that woman would do with a shot glass of beer?
Stick it where the sun doesn't shine.
It would be a whole night of activity for her.
Seriously, stick it where the sun doesn't shine. That's
so
what she would do.
So, wait, they're saying a shot glass of...
It's all you should have. They vacillate back and forth by what you should do. Well, you're not allowed to have this much, or you're not allowed to have that much.
That's terrible.
Follow the advice of my cardiologist. I'll ask you, how old are you, Sylvie?
I'm 50.
Act like it. That's all. Just act like it. Don't act like you're 20.
That's very open-ended, though.
Okay, well, you got to treat me like an adult, don't you?
Yeah. I think everything with common sense.
And moderation. Ice cream is better for you than granola.
Really? Would Danny Zetterman endorse that?
What would Danny do?
No, no, no. Danny has his phantom health facts that he throws out in our meeting every single day. I'm officially taking the stand.
Tyler doesn't believe in any of Danny's science.
90% of them are definitely not true. Dr. Danny Zetterman, uh-uh.
Really? Which is the most harmful misrepresentation of science, in your opinion?
I don't know what the most harmful. What was the one he threw out?
Well,
I
mean, you can't eat, sir. What certain things that you're not allowed to eat?
Yesterday he was... You're not allowed to eat anything, according to Danny. There's like three things you can eat.
Danny said that your genetics, like if you have family history of heart disease, that you can shut that off if you take care of yourself.
Yeah, he said genetics are light switches.
Yes. You could turn it on and turn it off.
Based on how you handle your body and your situation. Right? That's what he said.
And I doubted that. I didn't know if that was true. I said, that's who I would like to talk to your cardiologist about that.
Yeah.
Instead of the armchair nutritionist. But how could...
As he's eyeballing my bag of barbecued chips.
Are they saying there's so much sugar in granola that the granola is not... Like, how is...
A new study from Tufts University in Boston has created the Food Compass, a nutrient profiling system that ranks how healthy foods are by giving options a score.
The Food Compass?
That's what they're going, Food Compass. Yeah. Like, I'm with you. I want to enjoy this ride.
Yes.
This ride it's a one-time ride. It's the ride's not nearly as long as you probably think it's going to be.
Right.
And
enjoy every second.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, you know what my Food Compass is? I've got four directions. This way, steak. That way, pizza. This way, seafood. This way.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Yes. Yes.
And there's a dessert in the Northeast.
And you know what you do every morning? You wake up in the morning and you work out.
That's
my
Food Compass.
Yeah.
Which way is it pointing today? Oh, steak.
Straight to the fridge. Yeah. That's where it's pointing.
Yeah. Tonight, you know what I feel like? Nachos.
Are you going to have nachos tonight?
No, I don't. I'm just saying. Pasta.
You should see the tomatoes that are coming out of my garden.
I need some tomatoes.
Do you?
I love tomatoes.
All right. I'll bring them for you. Students who listen to music while studying have a higher GPA. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I endorse that. I think it calms the brain.
I can't imagine that that's accurate. I couldn't really study unless I kind of had quiet.
Really?
Yeah.
They had a good conversation on Cap and Jay Hood this morning. They were asking what was in Ryan Poles' earphones.
I thought that was weird too.
What was he like? Cap said he was listening to the radio broadcast, but
maybe he was listening to the television broadcast.
But if he's listening to the radio, how's he getting the local Bears calls? Is he listening to Seattle radio? And if he's listening on an app like people watch on Twitch, that's delayed and it won't match what's going on. Maybe
he's listening to smooth jazz.
I thought Shay had a good theory that maybe he just has it in to drown out the noise
around him.
And he doesn't have anything in it.
Yeah, I think the new AirPods are noise canceling. Yeah.
Hoodie said that maybe it was like water, like the calmness of water.
I think Hoodie water puts them in the morning from 7 to 10. It helps him.
You know, Cap never wears his headset because he doesn't listen to anyone except himself.
Can't wait to see those guys tomorrow. Is Cap going to be there?
Cap will be there,
yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm sitting on stage with Cap and Hoodie talking ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, talking ball. What are you? You're like the host of it all. You're like the big shooter.
I introduced Shefty.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do a little segment with my guy Field. Field Yates.
Yeah. You are truly. You are our host. Hostess with the most.
Hostess with the mostest. Is that what you were going for?
I caught myself. A host with the most. That's all I got. I got.
You know there are caves in Missouri.
I kind of let that go. That's what partners, 15 years of doing this together, I didn't say, yeah, dumbass, that's where the dog was found.
I was reiterating, I was driving the point home. All right,
I didn't make anything of it.
Our reaction to the Deshaun Watson suspension, your reaction to the Bears, and I want to get into some White Sox conversation. What the hell? Can anyone answer this question? What the hell has happened to Lucas Giolito? All that next.